little bit earlier, I'm glad I'm safe in the arms of the Lord.
Amen.
It is crazy out there. We're not to worry. Worry is a sin. But concern, we ought to be concerned about what we see going on. Well, I'd like you to take your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I will read this evening a short passage. Verse 10 through 18. And then this will be the last lesson from this second epistle of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, under their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now we have had, this will be our 12th lesson from 2 Peter. We started out, we had a family, we said we are a family of like precious faith. And those of us that are children of God and have been born again by the Spirit of God, we are people of like precious faith. And then we had a lesson on, we have faith, and that's a good starting point, but then we add to our faith. And so we talked about a bunch of things we add to the faith. And then we had a lesson on there's things that we possess, and those things that we possess produce fruit in our life. And then we had a lesson on the family knows God's beloved Son, the family of God obeys the Scriptures, the family heeds God's warnings, the family has an unsparing God, and of course he judged the fallen angels and the people in Noah's day. This family can be vexed. Peter's illustration there was Lot. This family knows that there is a day of judgment. This family witnesses darkness in the daytime. That's kind of where we are today. This family follows the right way. This family is stirred up about the things of God. And tonight will be the 12th lesson from 2 Peter. And this is the last one. It says, we should be found faithful. God's people should be found faithful. When should we be found faithful? All the time. And in this context, has to do with the day of the Lord. One of the most awesome themes in the Bible is the theme of our Lord's return, when the Lord comes to rapture his children off of the earth, and then also, of course, his second coming, and then he sets up his millennial kingdom, and then, of course, there's the judgments and all those things. One of the most awesome themes of the Bible is the Lord's return. The last thing that the Lord had Peter write about was some of the truths concerning the second coming of Christ. Now this theme, that Jesus is coming again, this ought to affect our lives for the better. It ought to affect our lives for right now, right here, as we look for and as we have a love for his appearing. Because this is a great hope that we have, that Jesus is coming again. Now, we don't know when that's going to be, but we know that he's coming again. Now, that's the context of the second coming. But look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, well, we are looking for such things. We're looking for, verse 10, the day of the Lord. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that you be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. We are to be diligent, that we might be found in him. When Jesus comes, so we know he's coming, but when Jesus comes, what will he find in our lives? So you think about your life today. Let's just say, and obviously he didn't, but let's just say Jesus were to have come today. What would he have found in your life? What would he have found you doing? What would he have found you thinking? What would he have found you saying? What would he have found in your life? Because we know he's coming. When Jesus comes, what was he going to find? One of the reasons that we press on in faithfulness is because we know that Jesus is coming again. And I know this. I know he's coming for me. I make it personal. Not only do I say Jesus is coming again, I know that Jesus is coming for me. Now, let me say this. Our focus and emphasis does not need to be so much on the plan and on all the details as it needs to be on the person of the one who is coming. And who is the person of the one who is coming? It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's not our disappearing as much as it is his appearing that is our hope. Peter gives some highlights of our Lord's return. He doesn't give a detailed description of everything that's going to take place when the Lord comes, but he kind of gives a little bit of an overview of what we should be doing as we wait in anticipation of his coming. So let's go back to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now notice what he said. In the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. When God destroyed the earth in Noah's day, he did it with the great flood. Then he made a promise, and he sealed that promise with a rainbow, not to destroy the earth again with a great flood. The rainbow is more than a beautiful sight. And sometimes people say, did you see that pretty rainbow today? But wasn't that a beautiful rainbow? It was a full circle one. Or sometimes there's a double rainbow. And yeah, those are pretty cool to look at. I'll grant you that. But that's a reminder of a promise that God made not to destroy the earth by water again. So if God's not going to destroy the earth by water, well, how's he going to destroy it the next time? He's going to destroy it by fire. Now you'll notice in verse 10, it starts out and it says, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, and some people get confused on this, and I'm not sure how they do it, but the day of the Lord is not just a one-day happening. The phrase, the day of the Lord, includes the catching away of the saints, the second coming of Christ, the 7 years tribulation that's in between there, the judgments and all of those things, all of that, the kingdom age, all of that is included in the phrase, the day of the Lord, usually. It molds all those things, the rewards and everything together. Look what Paul said, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hold your finger here because we'll come right back to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 7. And 8. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Since God is going to bring all these things to pass. Notice the rest of the verse. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now Peter's talking about, because Jesus is coming, how should you live right now? What should be your conduct of life right now? I guess the first question we have to ask ourselves is this. Do we really believe that Jesus is coming again? That doesn't sound very assurance to me that you really believe that Jesus is coming again. I'll tell you that. Maybe it was a good supper or something. I don't know. But Jesus is coming again. I thought I might better remind you that. I read a story. Thank you. I read a story of a mom and a daughter. And they went on a vacation. They left their son at home. He was an older son, okay? He wasn't like home alone when the kid was 7 or 8, okay? This is a real mom and a real daughter and a real son who's probably 19 or 20 years old. So anyway, he knew the exact day that she was coming home. And look, like most boys, he waited till the very last minute to clean up. That reminds me of the time I went up to the Rice's house, and there's Shane and Matt, and what's the other one? Mike. So I went up there for something, and Ed and Bev were gone away on a military something, and they were going to be gone for a week, week and a half. Well, I went up there like 2 days, two, 3 days before Mom and Dad got home, and I walked into the house, and there is a counter, and there's a gap between this cupboard and this cupboard. I don't think you could another poor plate anywhere in that whole countertop. I mean, it was just packed. And I says, don't you think you boys ought to get doing some dishes? Ah, we still got a couple days. I'm like, okay. I mean, I never see so much dirty dishes. A restaurant couldn't have had this many dirty dishes. I mean, it was bad. My dad was with me, and he was like, man, I never see so much, such a, the whole place looked like a tornado went off in there. Well, the day before, this boy, the day he thought his mom was going to be back, he happened to be out with friends, and Mom came home a day early. And by his own word, by her own words and his own testimony, to be honest, I've never saw so many dirty dishes and so many dirty clothes in a bedroom and so many dirty dishes in a sink in all my life. Well, he didn't know his mom was coming back. Most of the house was unkept, but he had planned to clean it up just before Mom got there. But you know what happened? She came unexpectedly. She was a day early. Messed his plans all up. Now, I don't know when Jesus is going to come, but we're to be ready now. Or we could be just like that boy who thought, oh, he coming when I wasn't ready. If he came right now, tonight, what would he find? Let's think of it like this. What should he find? First of all, you'll notice what it said in verse 14. Be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. So we're supposed to be diligent. If a person is diligent about something, that means he's given attention to it. He's working at it. His chief concern is to get that job done. The Lord says we're to be diligent. I'm coming. But before I come, between now and then, I want you to be diligent. Many so-called Christians are so far removed from diligence that I get the impression there is never any seriousness at all in their Christian life. And I'll be honest, I doubt that a large percent of them are even saved. W.B. Riley, an old-fashioned preacher, told the story of diligence. He said, I was getting my shoes shined one day, and a young man was shining the shoes, never lifted up his head. He never looked to the left. He never looked to the right. He was never distracted, not once, not for one moment. He gave his full, undivided attention from the moment he started shining those shoes to the moment he finished. Nothing was a concern to him except those shoes. That's diligence. That's what diligence is. Many people in God's family are so half-hearted about God's work. If they had a job and they were as diligent there as they are in God's work, you know what happened to them? They'd get fired. Some tasks are burdensome, I know that. Some things in life are not fun. Nonetheless, we are to be diligent to getting the job done and work until the job is done, until Jesus comes back. We should be diligent about our Christian life. It's easy to be distracted by everything in the world. But if the Lord were to come at this moment, would we be found with or without diligence? Now look at verse 14 again. That you may be found in him, and he talks about peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We're supposed to be people of peace. I keep going back between Ephesians and Colossians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That means you don't worry. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're to be people of peace. The keep means to guard like a soldier who's standing guard, to make certain. That's what the Lord wants. And wants us to be at peace with other people. In Romans 12, 18, the Bible says, as much as lieth within you, live at peace with all men. Now, there are times, and you know this, of course, between couples and friends and family members or maybe co-workers, that when the Lord comes, he's not going to find peace because they're not at peace one with another. He wants us to be at peace. Now, here's what there is. We need to make peace with God. When do we do that? At salvation. And then we are to have the peace of God as we live our life daily. That's right. And we are to be at peace with others when he comes. All those things. And notice what else he said there. Well, let me check this verse out. Verse 14, I believe. Without spot. Go back to verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Well, I can tell you one, without spot. What's that mean? That means be right with God. A lot of professing Christians today, they're not right with God. One of two things. They don't care, or they're so deceived, they have no clue what it means to be right with God. It's like they don't even know. I don't know how that's possible, to be honest. But they're so far removed from being without knowledge of what it is to be right with God. Answer the question in verse 11. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What manner of person ought you to be? Spotless, without spot. No known habitual sin in our lives. There's no place for it. We are to be peaceful people. We are to be pure people and holy people. Now, let me ask you this question. Does that describe me? Does that describe you? Without spot. Look again at verse 14. What's the last one? Blameless. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about that this Sunday morning. But that really is where nobody can point an accusing finger of blame at us. They can't say, you know what, this is a good person, but this is a constant blight on their life. If you're accused and it's true, you know what you need to do? Make it right. You say, well, Pastor, you just read last week or so, 1 Timothy chapter 3, this blameless stuff, that's for pastors. Well, this not in this passage. That's for all of us. That's for all of us. We are supposed to avoid even the very appearance of evil. There should be no wicked thing before our eyes or in through our ear gate that dishonors the Lord or anything that comes out of our mouth. Much of our wrong behavior happens in response to others. Action gets us into trouble. Reaction gets us into trouble. If you aren't blameless, I have some advice. Fix it. Because that's what he said. Now look at verse 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul was according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now, Peter says, listen to Paul. Are you aware that Peter and Paul had a spat between them? And they were apostles. If two apostles can have a spat between them, you can be rest assured the rest of us can have a spat between us. Now, the reason, and you read about this a few moments ago, I hope you noticed what you were reading in Galatians chapter 2. Mel, you got Galatians chapter 23 typed in here. I have no idea where you come up with that one, but you probably hit two keys. Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that to your attention. But Peter and Paul had this spat between them. Because Peter Well, go back to Galatians chapter 2. Was behaving wrongly toward the Gentiles. And by the way, that's even after the Lord had instructed Peter, and Peter was kind of instructed early in the book of Acts that the Gentiles were going to be brought into the family of God. But let me read some of this to you again. Verse number 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Now, who's the circumcision? The Jews. Who's the heathen? The Gentiles, all the rest. You and I, you know what group we fit into, don't you? Yeah, we're in the heathen group. That's right where we belong to, I might add. Anyway, it says, only they would that ye should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when, now watch what Peter did. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Paul said, and Paul wrote Galatians, Paul said, I withstood Peter to the face because he was the blame. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. He was eating with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself from the Gentiles, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He was afraid of the Jews. Now, somewhere down the road, Peter got that right, and then he was blameless. So he can write about that in 2 Peter. He wasn't blameless, but he became blameless. That's why when you study 1 Timothy chapter 3, blameless is in the present state right now. Doesn't matter what you were before. Nobody cares what you were before. It is what you are right now. And we are to be right now, beloved, blameless. Nobody can point a finger at us right now and say, there's a blight. There's a problem. There is a known habitual sin problem in that person's life. That nobody should be able to do that. Then he said in verse 17, back in 2 Peter, now the last word, fall from your own steadfastness. You know what else he ought to find us? Steadfast. When he comes, he expects every one of us to be steadfast. Now, what's that mean? That means diligent. Now, here's all this list. Diligent, peaceful, without spot, blameless. I can't do that. And fifthly, steadfast. Meaning this, hold your ground. Don't give up. You know why we can't give up? Jesus is coming again. God has taught us some things. Don't give up. Stay faithful to what you know to be the right thing to do. Steadfast people are a great example of what to do and what not to do. Be steadfast. Don't compromise. Don't go back into the world. Don't do ungodly things. Just be steadfast. And sixthly, he said in verse 18, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Can I say this? May he find us growing in the Lord. I don't know how long it's going to be before Jesus comes. I know I'm supposed to keep a rein on a growing. Now, the first time I went to the Holy Land, you know what I was surprised to find out? I bet your dad will tell you this when he comes back too, man. I was surprised to find out that my God, my guide knew so much about biblical facts. He knew way more biblical facts than I knew. And the truth of the matter is, I don't think that guy was a believer. But boy, did he know the history of the Bible. And I'm hoping the guide I have this time, that we have this time, has as much knowledge as the first one did. But I'm going to say something. When we grow in the Lord, and this guy had a lot of knowledge, it's more than academics, way more than academics. We are to get closer and closer and closer to the Lord. And the practical things of faith, like witnessing. You shouldn't get tired of witnessing. going to church, or maybe even going to more church special services, to give more, to pray more, to worship more, to sacrifice more. What's that hymn writer say? More about Jesus. When he comes, what will he find? Will he find diligence and peace and us without spot? And will he find us blameless? And will he find us steadfast? And will he say, you know what, until I came, you've just been growing and growing and growing and growing. As he closed his epistle, he said in verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, you know these things, the things that he mentioned in chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, add to your faith, virtue, and into virtue, knowledge, and all those things. When you add those things, you know what the kind of person he describes at the end of the book are? It's the result of adding those things to your life. So let's real quick go back to chapter 1 and read verses 5 through 8. For if these things be in you and abound, let me go back to verse 5 even. I'll try that. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brother kindness charity. Now you add those things. Now watch this. Here's the result. Diligence. Peace. Without spot. Blameless. Steadfast. And you're still growing. Produce those things, because that's what God expects to find in us when he comes in the day of the Lord. Father, I pray you'd help us to be faithful, steadfast, unmovable, as Paul said, always abounding in the work of the Lord. May when you come, may you find us diligent, going about doing your business, not being distracted, not letting things get us off direction, off course, but to just have a single mind focus that we're going to live for you regardless of what the world throws at us. And we're getting thrown some fiery darts lately. But Lord, may we continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. May we produce all these things in our life that you desire for us to have. God, help us. Be merciful to us. Extend grace to us that we might be the people of God that thou would have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read a couple of missionary letters. I got so many missionary letters. I don't know. It's ridiculous how many missionary letters we got. I'm going to